Good morning from New Orleans. Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup.
I accept your nomination for president. I mean to run hard, to fight hard, to stand on the issues, and I mean to win.
George Bush last night moved out of Ronald Reagan's shadow, taking command of the Republican Party as its 1988 standard bearer. But he pledged to this overwhelmingly conservative convention that he will stick to the Reagan course.
I'm here tonight, and I am your candidate because the most important work of my life is to complete the mission that we started in 1980. And how do we complete it? We build on it.
Bush emphasized education, child care, and anti-drug efforts. He'd send the FBI after ocean dumpers and create 30 million jobs in 8 years. The candidate drew sharp contrast between himself and Michael Dukakis.
I'm the one who will not raise taxes. My opponent now says he'll raise them as a last resort or a third resort. But when a politician talks like that, you know that's one resort he'll be checking into.
Bush's campaign advisors have long worried about his image among voters, the so-called wimp factor. Last night, the candidate spoke with unusual force, tackling his image problem with a mixture of self-effacing humor and directness.
I may not be the most eloquent, but I learned that early on that eloquence won't draw oil from the ground, and I may sometimes be a little awkward, but there's nothing self-conscious in my love of country.
In his vice presidential acceptance speech, Dan Quayle used the word future 13 times. It's a word he plans to use thousands of times by Election Day.
That word symbolizes hope and opportunity. To make sure hope and opportunity are always there, we need a strong economy so there will be good jobs for all who seek them.
The night ended with delegates whooping it up under the 27-story Superdome in a blizzard of balloons and heading for wrap-up parties. Today, they head home to start working for their ticket. Also today, Bush advisors and pollsters will be measuring the height of his bounce from last night's speech and addressing their potential Quayle problem. That story from Jacqueline Adams.
Best speech I've ever heard him give.
George Bush made the speech of his life. It was fantastic.
George Bush dug deep last night, and in the eyes of his staff and many of the delegates, he hit a home run, diverting attention, at least temporarily, away from the stories about how and why Senator Dan Quayle served in the National Guard during the Vietnam War, stories that threatened to swamp the two-day-old Bush-Quayle ticket. But Bush campaign staffers think they turned the corner on the controversy last night when Quayle defended his actions.
As a young man, I served 6 years in the National Guard, and like millions of Americans who have served in the Guard, I serve today, and I'm proud of that.
Arizona Senator John McCain was less certain.
If evidence comes to light that he was moved and given preferential treatment over others who were as qualified or more qualified, we have a serious problem. But there is no evidence of that at this time.
Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, New Orleans.
This is Gary Reeves in Indianapolis. Dan Quayle begins his first day as Republican vice presidential nominee, still in the midst of the controversy over whether he used his position in one of Indiana's most influential families to gain an appointment to the National Guard during the height of the Vietnam War. Wendell Phillippe was the managing editor of the Indianapolis News, which is controlled by Quayle's relatives. He's also a former Guard general who helped Quayle 20 years ago.
Danny called me up and said he wanted to talk to me about National Guard enlistment, and I called up the Adjutant General's office and asked them if they had a place for Dan Quayle, who's a fine young man, and he went out there, and I don't know how long it took, but eventually he signed up.
Phillippe says he made similar calls for hundreds of young men and says he pulled no strings and got no pressure from his employer to help Dan Quayle. Gary Reeves, CBS News, Indianapolis.
This morning, before leaving New Orleans, Bush and Quayle appeared at a Republican National Committee meeting.
Well, having gone through this week, I think I know how I am to introduce myself. I stand at attention. Name, Dan Quayle. Rank, Sergeant. Serial number, 303-504-096. Indiana National Guard, 6 years and proud of it.
I'm Bill Lynch in New Orleans. The World News Roundup continues now with Judy Muller in New York.
The Dukakis campaign begins a whistle-stop tour today aboard the Duke Express, the train's making stops in Illinois, Missouri, and Arkansas. So far, Michael Dukakis has seemed reluctant to comment on the flap over Quayle's military service. Signs of sabotage. That's the word from senior Pakistani officials regarding preliminary evidence from the site of the plane crash in which President Zia, the American ambassador, and others died. But some witnesses say there was no mid-air explosion. President Zia will be buried tomorrow. John Sheehan reports.
The state funeral of President Zia ul Haq will follow the midday prayers at the Faisal Mosque here in Islamabad tomorrow. He will be buried with full military honors within the grounds of the mosque, an honor conferred because of his support for enforcing Islamic laws in Pakistan. Foreign dignitaries have begun arriving in the capital to attend Zia's burial. Pakistani authorities investigating the air crash will be joined today by American experts hoping to unravel the mystery of how President Zia, U.S. Ambassador Arnold Rappel, and their aides died. I've talked with one person who inspected the remote crash site and who told me that the plane clearly exploded on impact, and that one wing, almost intact, is lying about a half mile from the rest of the wreckage. John Sheehan, CBS News, Islamabad.
A meeting aimed at reducing hostilities between North and South Korea resulted in an agreement to try again. Bruce Dunning reports.
Scores of cameramen jammed in around the vast negotiating table, ready to photograph the first official handshakes in nearly 3 years between the two Koreas. But the table was so wide that the delegates' outstretched hands could not meet, a poignant symbol of the distance between North and South. The North wants to organize a giant meeting of both national assemblies to discuss eventual reunification of the country. The South wants to talk about getting the North to participate in the Summer Olympics, which begin 4 weeks from tomorrow. A South Korean negotiator said after the meeting that the most encouraging result was an agreement for the two sides to meet again tomorrow. Bruce Dunning, CBS News, Panmunjom.
A wildfire near Helena, Montana has gobbled up some 20,000 acres of timber, grassland, some homes, and livestock, and it shows no sign of losing its appetite. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 9.61 at 2,036.63. Buy them on the big board, about 15 million shares. It's 7:10.